soil to grass, I will take you to aquatic environment, and actually I will talk about, I guess it is coming on, about active caps for contaminated sediments. Actually, the composition of active caps, those active caps are made of sequestering agents, and they could be applied for the terrestrial and environment too. Today I will concentrate mostly on sequestering agents, and I will describe some data for metals and touch a little bit organic contaminants. It's a 3 years project sponsored by Department of Defense, and perhaps you are not aware, but actually sediment contamination in our country and everywhere in the world is a very important issue. And like in our country, 10% of the sediment is contaminated with broad range of organic contaminants, metals, metalloids, and other. And there are actually only three current technologies for contaminated sediments: removal, followed by treatment and disposal, in-situ isolation of the sediment, passive capping, and monitor natural recovery. And there are some problems with those technologies. They are not a permanent solution. They might cause significant environmental impact, and they cannot treat the complex of mixtures of organic and inorganic contaminants that very often we have at contaminated sites. And we have to remember that aquatic environments are very dynamic, and simply those methods could be not adequate for this type of environment. So the objective of this talk, and partially of this broad project, is evaluation of sequestering agent for in-situ active caps that stabilize metals and organic contaminants under a broad range of environmental conditions. Here, for those that are not familiar with capping technology, I simply put two graphs showing passive cap and active cap. Passive cap is simply a layer of a material, in this case sand, that would isolate contaminated sediment from the surrounding contaminated sediment due to diffusion and advection transport. Active cap does more than only isolation. It would react, has this reactive material, so additionally, like for example apatite, should stabilize some elements, or organoclay should remediate organic contaminants. And we are working on this. This is an example of provisional active cap that, for example, would be a composition of cross-linked biopolymer, which would sorb organic and inorganic contaminants. But the key issue, why we want those biopolymers to be included, they would prevent erosion of this cap, because it looks like a glue. I will touch only a little bit on biopolymers, but actually this is another probably talk. So as you can see, there is so many processes in the aquatic environment that could bring up contaminants to the water column. And the goal of this active cap is to slow down those processes, or just eliminate transport of contaminants through those processes. Here, for example, as we know, we cannot remove heavy metals or metals from contaminated sediment. However, by applying sequestering materials in the active cap, we can shift mobility, bioavailability of heavy metals from most labeled to non-labeled fractions. And this is the goal of those active caps. Here are some examples that we were testing, and they will be used in our field deployment as well. First one is very well known and used in terrestrial deployment, apatite. Apatite is a mineral, calcium phosphate, and there are so many types of apatite, but in this practical field deployment, any field deployment, you use rock phosphate, which is with the main mineral apatite. That very useful for metal remediation because they, in contact with metals, as you can see, I don't have time to go into details, but they provide stable end products. And they could be used with existing technology. They do not affect sediment physical properties, and they could be easily mixed with other amendments. They are easily available, not expensive, and very important, not toxic. CERDAP will have a workshop next month in Washington, D.C. We'll have four posters on this project, and one poster will be on toxicity of those sequestering agents. Because if you want to go to the field, you have to make sure, you have to convince regulators that those materials are not toxic to benthic organisms and other microorganisms, for example. Phytic acid works exactly the same like apatite, it's just a sugar derivative, and it's one good thing about phytic acid that can be applied in a soluble form. So sometimes if your active cap doesn't achieve what you wanted, you can go deeper into the sediment and just have locally some injection of phytic acid. Organoclase, they are modified bentonite, and they are mostly the best for removing organic contaminants, PCBs, PAGs. But due to small positive charge, they could remediate some metals as well, and due to cation exchange capacity. And one important parameter of organoclase is that they could swell and reduce permeability. Biopolymers are natural materials. They can bind metals and organic, and they have important parameters like plugging, increase shear strength of porous media to resist erosion, and this is why we selected those biopolymers in our study. However, you have to modify natural biopolymers by cross-linking, because if you add to the environment, microorganisms would eat biopolymer very quickly, and it would be costly and not long-term effectiveness, because microbes, they recognize as a good source of carbon biopolymer, and then they eat very quickly. So there's all kinds of cross-linking reagents, and you can create cross-linked biopolymers. I will not talk through details about this, because actually we are trying to get a patent on this, so it's good to perhaps do not release all information. And we run several absorption and desorption experiments with individual amendments and mixture of those amendments. And deliverables from those experiments were partition coefficient, percent removal, and percent retention. percent retention, it was based on after sorption experiment, we ran the sorption experiment. It's important to see how much contaminants would be removed with your amendments. But on the other hand, it's important how strongly they would retain those contaminants under changing conditions. So this is very important part of remediation technology evaluation. Bioavailability and retention evaluation was done with two sediments, Anacostia River and Elizabeth River, and we tested North Carolina apatite, mixture of North Carolina apatite and organoclay, and we had some other mixtures. We tried to really be very cautious about addition of those sequestering agents, especially organoclay, 100%. It seems it's toxic, so we have to vary addition of those organoclays. So, yes, oh, I don't have time. Let's go to the results. I will skip. This is KD of those four major groups that were evaluated, and as you can see, the highest KD, the more effective material is. Phosphate, RPT, rock phosphate from Tennessee, NCA, North Carolina apatite, biological apatite, and calcium phytate. As you can see, they work very well for several elements. They are not effective for arsenic. From all organoclay, especially organoclay OCB715 from Biomine Incorporation was very effective for most of elements, and biopolymers were effective as well. However, zeolite, clinoptalolite, philipsite, in some way it could be used for lead and cadmium and chromium nickel. However, it was not effective like other amendments. Here is a quick comparison. When you have different environments, salt versus fresh water, you can expect that, for example, North Carolina apatite would be less effective in salt water condition for some elements. However, that was not the case for organoclay. For most elements, this material had the same effectiveness. And the percent of retention was calculated following this equation, simply adsorption and desorption data. And we can see that most of the material had very high effectiveness, three axis, that means 80-100% of retention after desorption experiment. For example, lead, nickel, copper, chromium, cobalt, zinc, they were, all those elements were effectively remediated by most of sequestering agents. For organic contaminants, only two organoclay were very effective, Sitco organoclay and Biomine. Biological apatite was effective in some degree, but not like organoclay. However, on this slide, you can see that even very low KDs can actually slow down diffusion and advection of contaminants by years. Here is penetration time. Let me finish this slide and I will go to the summary. 2.5 centimeter layer slowed down by 7 years for North Carolina and 43 years when we have a layer of 15 centimeters. So that is, I guess, significant. And here are some results from modeling that we don't have time, but I will skip and briefly perhaps the summary. It seems that phosphate, organoclase, and the biopolymers like chitosan are very effective in removing metals in both condition, fresh and salt water. And other fact that I didn't touch, TCLP data show that the amendments do not pose an environmental hazard due to metal leaching. All metal leachate were much below TCLP. And sequential extraction data show that actually they shift the available pool of contaminants. That means with application of amendments, you reduce available pool of contaminants, you shift to this non-label pool of contaminants. Thank you very much. Sorry, I didn't have enough time to talk about this project. But